to be in Jesus. Economy going up and down, but we got a sure foundation. Somebody say amen. Oh, like you believe it, say amen. Somebody say aight. Come on, it's like the New York City version of amen. If the Apostle Paul was alive today, he would have been like, grace and peace be unto you, aight? No? That's just my Bible? Y'all got to read between the lines a little bit. It's cool. First Samuel 17, one verse. Verse 37, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. That was spoken by a 17-year-old giant slayer. Are there any giant slayers in the house tonight? Oh, if you like on this halfway tip, you could keep your hand down because I ain't really talking to you. I mean, you a giant slayer. You like straight up and down. I'm coming correct for the Lord. Somebody make some noise up in here. We get introduced to David in 1 Samuel 16 because the prophet Samuel is looking for a new king because God rejected Saul. And so he's looking for this new king, and God tells him, look, go to the house of a man named Jesse. And when you get there, I'm going to point out to you who the new king of Israel is going to be. And so he shows up at the house and he knocks on the door and says, what's up? And Jesse's like, it's cool. And he's like, yo, we're going to have dinner tonight. Fried chicken and Kool-Aid, praise the Lord. And how many of y'all know about some good fried chicken? And so you know I know about some good fried chicken. And so he's like, yo, we're gonna get this dinner thing on, and you're gonna come, and I'm gonna anoint one of your sons who's gonna be king. And so Jesse brings in seven of his sons, and he brings in seven of his sons, and the first one comes out, and the Bible says that he's good looking. His name is Eliab, and immediately Samuel just thinks, well, this must be the dude. He's good looking. He looks good on the outside. And God stays his hand and says, wait, Samuel, be careful. Don't anoint him, because your selection process has been flawed. You see, man judges the outward, but God judges the heart. In other words, you look at how tall and how good looking somebody is on the outside, but my eyes, the Bible says in Revelation, they blaze like fire. You look at what a man does on the outside, but my eyes, they see the heart of a man. You see, man judges what we do. God judges why we do it. God's not so impressed with whether or not we show up on Friday night. If the question is, why do we show up on Friday night? Did we come to check out some girl who will only date us if we come to church on Friday night with them? Some of y'all are getting real uncomfortable next to her. You like, dag, this dude's blowing up my spot right here now like that. He's like, no. I don't judge it like y'all. You look at it this way, you look at it that way, but no. I look at the heart of a man. I see why they do it. Is their heart fully given over to me? And the Bible says that he goes through all of Jesse's sons, and as he goes through each one of them, he knows that God has not said yes to any of them. And so Samuel's thinking for a moment, like, did I get the wrong address? I mean, what happened here? And so he turns to Jesse, the dad, and he's like, I went through all your kids. It's not them. You know, did you forget about one? You know, like eight is enough. You know, like did you miss one out in the yard or something like that? Like, forgot to call him up from the basement? And he's like, yeah, oh, I mean, I got one more. That's messed up. I got one more. The youngest, you weren't really looking for him. And you see, Samuel says, no. We're not going to sit down and have dinner until you go out in the field and go get that one and bring him in the house. And I think about sometimes how oftentimes we can somehow feel like we're forgotten about. Like somehow God might not be remembering us, or that because our parents thought that we couldn't really do it, or because a teacher said we never could, that because of society's opinion, they might have forgot about us and said we couldn't. And yet I want you to know tonight that if God says it's so, it's so. And if he's going to put a pause on dinner and say, we ain't sitting down at the table until you go find my servant who might be out in the fields at 15 years old, I want you to know God will put a halt on dinner so he can find you where you're at, because he knows exactly where you are. In other words, those dreams that God put in your heart and in your mind to do those great things, that house that that sister talked about, when everybody else would think you're nuts, there's no way you can get a house like that. And God says, no, 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 no. I'm the one who put that in your dreams in the midnight hour. And if everybody else thinks you're off the deep end, it's okay. My plans will come to pass. Amen. We can bless the Lord for that. He's got a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And so somebody gets sent out in the field to go get David. I mean, that must have been an awkward moment. I mean, there's no cell phones, right? Dudes are in the house. There's seven dudes that just got passed up for the kingship, and everybody's waiting in the house like, the fried chicken's getting cold. So they go get David. David comes in the house, and immediately, not because of his outward appearance, but because of his heart, God tells Samuel, no, 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 you rise up and anoint him. He's the one my hand is on. And then immediately later, we skip forward a couple of verses, and we find that the king Saul, he's been troubled in his heart, and he's having all types of bad attitudes, and he's having all types of bad days because a spirit is bothering him. And the Bible says that one of his assistants turned to him and says, look, you know what? Maybe we should go find the musician. We should go find the worship leader, because when they come, maybe when they begin to play that music that's anointed by God, that spirit will leave you. And I want you to know tonight that we don't haphazardly choose the music that we put on in our youth groups and decide to just, you know, play a bunch of music for an hour or 50 minutes before, you know, the preacher gets up, because we've got nothing better to do with our time. We want you to know that it's strategic. In other words, we believe that in the atmosphere that's set by anointed musicians and players and by anointed singers, that if you walk in the door and all hell was breaking loose on the train when you got here, and your mother said this and your father said that, and all hell is breaking loose when you get in the house of God and the spirit of worship, God can release that thing from you. In the atmosphere where you're able just to lift up your hands. Oh, that's why it's so important, even when you don't feel like it. Oh, that you would just push through. Why? Because in the atmosphere that's set by praise and worship and anointed, skilled musicians, God shows up and he can break chains and release burdens. And when you walked in feeling like the weight of the world was on your shoulders, you can lift up your hands and know that God is the one who lifts that weight off of you. Matter of fact, right now, lift up both your hands to God wherever you're sitting. Open up your mouth and begin to praise him out loud. Come on, out loud. Oh, be silent out loud. Bless you, Lord. Oh, we bless. If you're tired, if you're fatigued, right now stand and praise him. Been all hell breaking loose today. You had the worst day in your life. Stand up and lift up your head and say, God, I praise you in the midst of my storm. I praise you in the midst of my trouble. Hallelujah. Not ashamed to lift up our hands. Not ashamed to praise our God. Not ashamed, not ashamed. You may be seated. And so what happens? All of a sudden, one of his servants says, well, I know a dude just like that. You know, his name is David. How was he going to get from the shepherd fields to the king's palace? But one day, a guy in the court just happened to remember. Yeah, there was this dude, and he used to play his instrument. And the Bible says specifically that he played skillfully, and the hand of the Lord was on him. Listen, if you're gifted, sharpen your gift. If you play a musical instrument, play that musical instrument, not only with all your heart, but learn it as best you can so you can play skillfully, because your gift will make room for you. All of a sudden, your giftedness, when you leave it to God and ask God to help you and anoint you and fill you and you apply yourself to learning, God will bring you to places. He can take you from the fields to the king's palace with your gifting. You know, I'm tired of hearing stories about so-and-so started off in the church and they got to the Grammys thinking it was a step up. Oh, no. Let me tell you something. The greatest platform you will ever minister on is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the angelic host watching over you. I'm sorry, but the BET, MTV, VH1, Video Music Awards, all that stuff is not a step up. I don't gotta leave the church to step up. No. The minute I left God's will, I stepped down. You see, I don't gotta curse in my lyrics. I don't gotta sing all types of profanity. Don't gotta put women down so that I can step up. No. On one side, I'm tired of hearing those stories. But thank God for a church like this. And oh, that God would help us open up our doors so that we would allow young people to minister and use their gifts in the house of God and let them know the greatest platform they will ever minister on is before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the Bible says that Saul likes him so much, he makes him one of his armor bearers, and he goes back and forth between helping his father with the sheep and going to the king's palace and ministering before the king. And this is something that you see with David, because it's interesting. The Bible says that there's a day when the Philistines come out to march against the people of God. And as they line up on both sides, they've been shouting at each other for like 40 days. And the Bible says that Jesse, David's son, says, you know, would you go and bring lunch to your brothers? I mean, that doesn't sound like such a spiritual task. Does it sound like, oh, what kind of honor would be given? I mean, he could have turned around and been like, don't you know I was the guy who was anointed? Oh, some of y'all are laughing because you've done that like in your heart. You didn't really say it, but you had the whole head motion down too. Like, you want me to usher this door? And they got quiet because some of y'all are like, tag. He's like, no. You want me to bring lunch to my brothers? I'll bring lunch to my brothers. Because you see, David understood that in the ordinary servant obedience, God opens up the door for supernatural opportunity. In the ordinary servant obedience, when you just choose to honor God, it's amazing. God opens up the door that only God could have opened up. And so what happens? David's showing up with Uncrustables for his brothers. I told y'all, some of y'all need to read between the lines. You don't even realize what's in this, please. He's showing up with PB&J for his brothers. And so as he shows up, just at that moment, it's the 40th day, and this 9-foot-tall giant named Goliath comes out and begins to curse the people of God. And all David was doing was bringing lunch. All David was doing was shepherding the flock. All David was doing was writing songs and playing his instrument in private. And God, every single step of the way, because he honors faithfulness. Faithfulness is one of the most underrated things in the body of Christ today. Faithfulness, he's just being, just doing what God told him to do. You want me to bring lunch? I'll bring lunch. And he shows up, and because the army for the last 40 days, they've been hearing the shouts and the taunts of the enemy and the lies and the accusations. The Bible says that in the beginning when the army would hear it, they had to wait to see him and hear it, and then they would run. Now the Bible says before they even see him, before he even opens his mouth, they're already quaking in their boots. Because when you're around accusations and people that won't believe and trust God, if you keep giving ear to that, it will sap your faith. You want to believe God for those dreams that God has given you that are bigger than what you could do on your own. Don't be around a bunch of people that tell you you can't. Be around some people that say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I've got three kids now. My oldest son is 6, middle son is 4, and my baby daughter, who's already running the house, is 3. And you know, we got cartoons in our house. Yeah, word up. I'm all right to say that. And you ever see Winnie the Pooh? Any of y'all ever see Winnie the Pooh? Rest of y'all are lying in God's house. You ever see that character be walking around like, put, put, looks like rain. Right? The put, put, looks like rain. Put, put, looks like rain. I mean, this dude's always thinking something bad's going to happen to him. There are some people and some Christians who walk around being like, put, put, looks like rain. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Some of y'all are giving elbows to that dude right next to you. Yo, he's talking about you. You listening? Word up. Listen, if you're going to believe God for great things, be around men and women of faith. My Bible says they that hope in the Lord, they will not be disappointed. They will not be put to shame. You see, when I was 19 years old and I was only saved 6 months and I was dealing drugs before I got saved and I wasn't serving God and I was a pastor's kid who grew up in the house of God and told my parents, I don't want your God. And when I said I was going to believe God for a building packed with 800 to 1,000 young people, junior high school and high school students, a whole bunch of people said, you know, you can't. And it looks like rain, so to speak, and it can't happen. And let me tell you something. If I would have stood with them, it wouldn't have happened. But I want you to know, the God who said it, he is faithful to be able to do it. That first night, 1996, the day after Thanksgiving, 800 young people showed up and lined up around the building. Today, the police in our neighborhood in Queens can track crime rate dropping in direct proportion to the amount of young people that come in our building. Clubs have shut down. You see, because when God says it's so, it's so. Everybody else can say no, but that's okay. You plus God always makes a majority. You can have the odds stacked against you, but you plus God make a majority. And so what happens? David hears this Goliath and everybody else is freaking out. And he's like, why are you guys freaking out? I know he's big. He's a big giant, but my God is bigger than that giant. He looks big, but my God is bigger than him. So everybody starts like talking and mumbling and rumbling. Somebody goes and tells the king, Saul, yo, there's this crazy dude out here, thinks he could beat up the giant. So Saul calls him in and says, bro, dude, Dave, I hear that you know you're going to take down this giant. How are you going to take down this giant? You're a kid. He's 17. You're a teenager. You can't impact. You can't do this. And he says, no. So you don't understand. I was just being faithful to God, shepherding the flock. And one day this bear came along and went to grab one of the sheep. But you see, that's not just my sheep. Those sheep, they belong to God. So I grabbed the sheep out of the bear's mouth and I clubbed and I killed the bear. And then another day, when the lion came along, the lion came and grabbed the sheep in its mouth and was going to take it off. And I grabbed the lion by its hair and I clubbed it down and I killed him too. And the God who delivered the lion and the bear into my hand will deliver this giant into my hands just like them. But here's what I want to say to you tonight. Because this weekend has been dedicated to no more idols. If you can't kill the lion and the bear in private, you will never kill Goliath in public. If you can't deal with the issues in private when you're alone, you'll never deal with the Goliaths in public. That's why there's so many people. They're always waiting for the big opportunity and they allow their talents to take them there. But their character has never been developed. And so what happens? They get to this platform and they get to this place. And then when they crumble and they disappoint a whole bunch of people and everybody's hurt, what happened? They were never able to tame and kill the bear. They were never able to kill the lion in private. And if you can't deal with that in private, you'll never be able to take down the giants in public. And I want you to know tonight, that those dreams and those plans that God has for you, God's dreams for me are bigger than my dreams for me. And God wants you to be a giant slayer. God wants you to do something great for his kingdom. God wants to use your life so that we can take down the things in this world that have been standing against our generation. Gods of materialism. Gods of lust, where they have to give out condoms to junior high school students because they say there's no self-control. My Bible says that one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Our young people don't have to give themselves over to pornography. $3.5 billion a year industry last year in America alone. Because we can't kill the lion and the bear in private. We're not knocking down the Goliaths in public the way God wants us to be. And I didn't come here tonight so that you can leave with your head down. I came here tonight so that we can do business with God and say, God, if you got to deal with this issue that's been in my life, this thing has been wreaking its ugly head. This thing has been inside of me and I can't even get a hold of it. This issue with pornography, this issue with low self-esteem, this issue with bitterness, this issue with these oppositional thoughts, all this stuff that bombards me in private that has kept me from honoring you in public. God, I want you to kill the lion and the bear tonight. Why? Because God, I know you want me to knock down some Goliaths. There are some great things you've got for my life. Would you bow your heads with me? Maybe some of the band and the singers can come. I want to honor your time. I know we got a retreat to leave on. Maybe you could dim the lights in the house, please. It's a private moment, please. David said to Saul, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And then when he went out to charge Goliath, it says, "And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's." Tonight, nobody moving around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what it is going on inside of you. You could be dealing with anger and rage that's been inside of you forever. But feel like it's been inside of you for such a long time. You don't even know. You can't even remember a positive thing your mom, your dad said to you. You're dealing with unforgiveness. You got stuff that has been sitting inside of you tonight that you feel like has hindered you. You can't even love anybody because every person that you love took advantage of you. Tonight, you feel like I can't even open up my mouth and praise God because I feel like I'm dirty. I feel like I can't get over this lust. I can't get over this habit. I can't get over these pornographic images. Every time I close my eyes, that's all I see in front of me. But tonight, the God who delivers the 9-foot-tall giant. Tonight, the God who you can be able to look at that giant square in the eyes and say, I know you're big, but my God is bigger than you. Is the God that says tonight that that bear and that lion and that stuff that's in private God wants to deal with it. The insecurities, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the jealousy, the gossip, pornography, the masturbation, the issues, the secret relationship you got on the side, that secret habit that you just can't get over. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and who does not lift up his soul to an idol. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through right now. I just know this, God, make up for every word that I've missed. Everything that I can't say, God, you just begin to pinpoint people's heart. Do heart surgery right now, God. If you would say, Pastor Adam, I want you to pray for me tonight because this has got to go. It's been here too long. It's got to go. This can't stay in here. God's got great plans for me. This thing's got to go. I'm not going to just wait for the big moment. I've got to deal with this issue in my life. It's a bear. It's a lion. It's in private. Nobody else may know. But tonight you know. And you need to bring that thing to God because you want to say, God, I want to know that you killed, that I've done with that lion, I'm done with that bear, because you've got great giants for me to knock down in front of me. You've got great dreams. You've got great plans. You've got great things. No mind has even conceived. No eye has seen. No ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love him. God's plans are for you. God who searches the heart and doesn't judge the outward, looks in the heart tonight and says, is there a cub? Is there a bear? Is there a lion? I've got to deal with. I've got to perform heart surgery on so that I can use you to do great things for me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this room and you want me to pray, Pastor Adam, I want you to pray tonight. I'm done with this thing. This jealousy, this bitterness, this masturbation, this pornography, these insecurities, this unforgiveness, this thing, this hurt, it's gone. I can't hold on to it any longer. God, would you help me? God, would you heal me? God, would you cleanse me? God, would you wash me of that guilt? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, you'd say, Pastor Adam, I want you to pray for me. Lift up one hand and I'll pray for you. Go ahead. And don't put it halfway. Lift it up to God. Lift it up to God. Please, please play. Maybe the other musicians could just come. Singers. Savior. If you lifted up your hand, I want you to stand up on your feet and I want you to come and stand down here at this altar right now. Come. Don't hesitate now. Don't hold back now. Oh, we're going to deal with the lions and the bears tonight. Why? Because there's great Goliaths that God has for me to knock down in my futures. You come. Come. Come all the way to the front. Lift up your hands and just begin to praise him out loud with your own lips. With your own voice from your own heart. And say, God, you're my Savior. You're the God who can heal my heart. You're the God who can touch my mind. You're the God who can cleanse me tonight, but you've got to open up your mouth. God's not waiting for someone else to pray for you. You've got to open up your mouth right now and say, God, Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, if you were drowning, you would lift up your voice and you would shout, say, Savior! 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 You're the God who saves! You're the God who cleanses! You're the God who washes! You're the God who delivers! Hallelujah! Savior!